This is the Life Church Podcast.
All right. Well, again, Merry Christmas. We're glad you're here. This is a great time to be together. And, you know, I'm so glad that you're here this morning to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. That's why we're here. That Jesus came, Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords came 2,000 years ago and was born in a stable as our Savior. And that's why we're here. Now, the interesting thing about that, I don't know if you've noticed, is that King Jesus came as a baby, but he didn't really receive a very royal welcome, right? Have you noticed that? That we call him King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and yet the circumstances around his birth did not seem very royal, very regal in any way at all. In fact, I was this week thinking about a more descriptive word of what the circumstances of Jesus' birth would be, and the word that came to mind was, and don't be offended, but the word that came to mind is the word redneck. That's kind of what, if I think about the circumstances around the birth. Now, don't, like I said, don't be offended. In fact, first service, I said that and people laughed. And I thought, you know, at first when I was preparing this, I thought, well, people might not like it, you know. But I can't tell you how many people came up afterwards and complimented me about it. The rednecks did. They thought it was awesome, you know. So it's not a, just to kind of clarify, I'm not talking about any of you anyways. I'm talking about my in-laws. Yeah, my wife is in the service. I'm going to have to be careful. But my in-laws, they're from Louisiana, man, and they're, especially my brothers-in-law, they are rednecks, guaranteed, you know. They're just kind of like, you know, vacation is not like Disney or Hawaii. That's not vacation. Vacation is, you know, an excursion to Bass Pro Shop with a bunch of gift cards. That's vacation. That's celebrating it up, man. That's fun for them. I don't think I've ever seen any of my brothers-in-law not wear camo. It's some form or fashion, you know. On some part of the body, there's got to be camo, you know. And there has been time. A few weddings that we've been to that I've noticed there was no camo in sight, but I'm pretty sure that they had camo underwear. I'm pretty certain of that because that's just, they would feel not dressed if they didn't have camo on, you know. In fact, I've got a picture of my brothers-in-law right here that's to the left. It's a guy doing a peace sign. That's Danny. He's the youngest of the family. My wife is the oldest, and he's the youngest, Danny. And then the second oldest there is in the middle, Mickey. And then the guy all the way to the front, that's Ronnie. Those are my three brothers. One in the front lives in South Carolina, actually, but the other two live in Louisiana. And then this is characteristic of a family reunion in the Rachel family. That's my wife's maiden name. That's what it looks like. It's circles. There you go. Sorry. See, kind of a redneck situation. It circles around crawfish boil, you know, so they eat. They eat crawfish, like little mud shrimp or whatever they call them, you know. And it's got potatoes there. And, of course, no shirt. That's part of the whole, my wife's like shaking her head. I'm in trouble. You weren't supposed to come to church today. Now, don't let the appearances fool you. This guy right here to the left, Mickey, he's a vice president of a timber company, and he's very successful. He used to manage all of Ross Perot's timber in Texas and Louisiana, so he's pretty successful. And the guy to the right with the no shirt on, he's actually a sergeant major in the Army, and he's also been very, very successful in his career. But nonetheless, they're rednecks. They are. My father-in-law, another slide here, they get this honestly, by the way. It's not something that they kind of, you know, it was passed down by Jerry Rachel. Jeremiah Benford Rachel is actually his name. I don't know, I'm really in trouble. And if you notice, Jerry's standing right there, and then over here he's sitting down, you know, eating a plate of crawfish, and he always is wearing a cap. indoor, outdoor, don't matter. He's always wearing. The only time he's taken off a cap is during prayer time at a wedding or something, I think. It's the only time he's, you know, he always is wearing a cap. And his caps are either camo or they have some kind of fishing decal or logo or something. I mean, he's from a little town called, he was born in a little town called Provençal that literally, do you talk about, no? Yes? That's what she did not. She's saying no, like stop talking about it. But yes, he was born in Provençal. this little town called Provençal that, you know, if you drive through Provençal and you blink, you will miss it. It's so small. You don't even know you're going through a town. There's a sign. There's no houses, nothing inside. There's just a sign. It's going to drive through. You went through Provençal, you know. And then he grew up in a place called Clutchyville. Now, I heard them, you know, I was married to my wife and, you know, kind of learning this family culture and stuff, you know, and I heard them talk about Clutchyville. That's where they're from. And so we're driving up Interstate 49 one day, and she goes, look, that's where my dad's from. He's from Clutchyville. And I looked at the sign. I'm like, now, how would you spell Clutchyville? Right? Like maybe Clutchivi, something like that. Yeah, that's how you would spell it. But the sign said Cloutierville, Cloutierv, and they pronounce it Clutchyville. That's redneck, by the way. Is to look at a perfectly spelled thing and say something else, you know, completely. Anyways, now look, don't get me wrong. I tried. I wanted to be a redneck since I was joining this family, but I just didn't have the goods. I knew I was out of my league. The first time I drove up to a family reunion in my Honda Civic, and everybody else had a pickup truck. My brothers-in-law did not respect me for years. This is not a man. He's not a man. He's driving a Honda Civic. What's wrong with him, you know? Even my wife had a Jeep CJ7, and I was driving a Honda Civic. That's, yeah. So, anyways, to call any of my brothers-in-law a redneck is really not a slur to them. It's kind of more of a term of endearment. They actually, Mickey, if I said, hey, you're a redneck, he'd probably say thank you for saying that. Because he would see that as a compliment in many ways. And so whether redneck is a compliment or a criticism, I don't know. But if you look objectively at the circumstances that surrounded the first Christmas, you would probably conclude that they were pretty redneck. I mean, Jesus was literally born in a barn. Like we say, you know, we use that, right, in common language these days. And when you don't close the door, you say, wait, were you born in a barn, right? Yeah, Jesus would say, yes, I was born in a barn. I get to leave the doors wide open because I was born in a barn, right? We sing about the birth of Christ as if it's beautiful, picturesque kind of moment. We say the cattle are lowing. Do you realize what we're saying there? We're saying that there is a cow in the delivery room. Now, that's redneck. He was born to a poor, unwed teenage mother. And instead of a doctor there to deliver him, he was met with the rough and callous hands of a carpenter. Think about Mary's trip to Bethlehem. It wasn't exactly a royal caravan. It was a 70-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And she was very pregnant. And there was no, like I said, not a royal caravan. There was no first-class ticket, not even a bus ticket at all. We just presume that she was riding a donkey because she was so pregnant that she had to have ridden something, right? That's something that we understand about this pretty redneck kind of thing. When they arrive in Bethlehem, it says that there's no room in the inn. There's no presidential suite waiting for him. He's the King of Kings. We call Jesus King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and yet there was no royal welcome there at this inn. Instead, they usher him to the back of the inn, to a stable, a place where they kept animals so that they would be safe from predators. When Jesus was born, he spends his first night sleeping in a manger. That's a fancy word that we use for a feeding trough. A place, a wooden thing that animals eat out of. That's where he spent his first night. So the question is, why? If prophetically and if throughout the entire Old Testament he was hailed as the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and all of that, why in the world would he be born under these kind of circumstances? Why would there be such a redneck appearance to it all? Well, I think the answer can be found in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, in the story of the shepherds. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Now, shepherds would have been the original rednecks. These were people that were kind of not highly regarded in their culture. They weren't clean cut. They weren't professionally dressed. People would look down upon them all the time, especially the religious community. They were not allowed in the temple. They were, in fact, this is how much they looked down upon shepherds. They were not even allowed to testify in court. They were considered unclean. They were synonymous with dirty and smelly. And so it would be unthinkable, if you were a religious scholar studying the coming of the Messiah, it would be unthinkable that the first announcement of the Messiah would be to shepherds. They would be like, what's going on here? This doesn't make any sense. It's incongruous with the fact that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he's being announced to these smelly outcasts. Shepherds hear the news first. And they didn't go and clean up and dress all up nicely. No, that's not what they did. They just showed up, smelly and all, to that little stable to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the angels send them out to be the first ambassadors to announce the birth of Jesus Christ to the world. So why? Why these redneck circumstances? Why shepherds? Why these humble circumstances? Verse 10 kind of gives us the answer. It says that this news is for all the people. It's for everyone. Not just for the well-educated and the well-behaved. It's not just for the well-mannered and the well-dressed. It's not just for those who have healthy marriages or gainful employment. It's not just for those who have a good credit score. It's for all the people. You see, in choosing shepherds and in choosing these circumstances, I think that God was making a statement. He was telling the entire world, everyone is included. Everyone is included. Everyone is included. I mean, it would have been easy for the religious scholars of that day to see the birth of Jesus and say, well, that's our Christmas present. That's our gift. He's our Messiah. It would have been easy for them to assume that, because that's, after all, how they were thinking. It was exclusively ours. But God wants to make it clear that Christmas is for all people, not just for people who talk like you or look like you or dress like you or listen to the music that you listen to or worship the way you worship or have the same skin color that you have or grew up in the same kind of family that you grew up. Jesus is for all the people. That's the message of this very, very rustic birth. For the religious community back then, the circumstances around Jesus' birth would have been actually inappropriate and even offensive. That's not how the king should have come, is how they would have thought. That's not how the king should have appeared. They would have been, in fact, I think that they would have missed the point. If they had been invited to that stable where Jesus was, they would have missed the point. They would have been so distracted by the smells, by the unclean nature of the stable, by the unkempt shepherds that were hanging around. They would have been like, this can't be a royal place. They would have missed the point that Jesus, not just in coming, is telling us of his love, but in how he came, he's telling us of his love. And here's a message. No matter who you are or what you've done or how you look or where you're from, Christmas is for you. I'm going to pause here for a second, and I know it's a Christmas Eve service, and it's easy to just kind of like, yeah, we're celebrating Christmas. Hallelujah. It's awesome. But I want you to hear those words again. I want you to think about your own circumstances. Think about your life. Think about your relationship with God, or think about your relationship with other people. And this is what Jesus would say to you, or God says to you, no matter who you are or what you've done or how you look or where you're from, Jesus came for you. There's a lot of ordinary products out there that get marketed, you know, like people, you know, like hijack them and try to market them to in elite ways or exclusive ways. They want to market it to a select few people, and particularly people that can afford it. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Anybody ever heard of Bling H2O? Bling H2O? Yeah, there's somebody who's heard of Bling H2O. It's bottled water in a fancy bottle. You see it there, right? It's a nice bottle of water. Here's the ad for Bling H2O. More than a pretty taste, Bling H2O is pop culture in a bottle. It's not for everyone. Just for those who bling. Ordinary bottled water is for ordinary people. But for those who have a taste for the finer things, Bling H2O may be the perfect thirst quencher. Doesn't it make you want to spend $30 for a bottle? No. I walk into Casey's to buy water bottles, and I'm like, I look for the cheapest one, and I pull it out, and I usually get upset with myself when I buy the cheapest one, because when you take the cap off, they're so flimsy, the water just starts spewing out, you know? But I would never pay $30 for a water bottle. On their website, you can actually buy a Bling H2O water bottle that costs $2,700. That's crazy. Here's another product I think should be a product for everyone. Toilet paper. It's a company called Renova, and this is their ad. Mind you, this isn't an ad for toilet paper, okay? Elegant. Sophisticated. Rebellious. Alternative and eternally fashionable. Black toilet paper isn't for everyone, but it's synonymous with sophistication and style. Toilet paper. When I first saw this, I saw this a few years ago, and then at that time, the ad was advertising, and it was advertising for $15 a roll. $15 a roll. Can you believe that? Now, that's like literally flushing your money down the toilet. That's literal flushing your money down the toilet when it's $15 a roll. It's something that should be for everybody, but people have claimed it. And they said, no, this is not for everybody. This is just for an exclusive few. And I think sometimes that's what we want to do with Jesus. That Jesus came, but he's not really for everybody. And Jesus tells us, I am for everybody. Yet we come along and say, no, you're not for everybody. You're for the well-behaved. You're for the ones, Jesus is for the ones who hasn't made this many mistakes or this particular kind of mistake. He's for the ones who kind of look like us or are like us. But Jesus tells us from the very beginning that he is for everybody. Galatians 3, Paul tells us that, that in Christ there is no Jew nor Greek, no slave nor free, no male nor female. So from the very beginning, from the outset of this whole thing, God is making it clear that he's for everyone. You can be a wise man coming bearing gifts of gold, or you can be a shepherd and you have nothing to offer, but you're welcome in that stable. You're welcome. Every one of us are welcome. Here's a few things I think that Jesus would want to tell us today. And first is this. No matter where what you're going through, Jesus will say, I know what it's like. I could pause here for a second and just think about it. I know that sometimes as Christmas rolls around, there can be a lot of, you know, I'm thinking, for example, of a friend of mine who's spending his first Christmas without his oldest son, who passed away earlier this year at the age of 32. And yeah, we're happy and celebrating Christmas, but this Christmas is a really profoundly hard Christmas for them. And I'd like to be able to tell my friend Bob that no matter what you're going through, Jesus would say to you, I know what it's like, I know what you're going through. You see, these humble and lowly circumstances of his birth show us that Jesus knows what it's like to on how we live. He's experienced the hardships, right? He didn't go from heaven to a palace. He went from heaven to a manger. He didn't run from hardships. So he identifies with our hearts. He sympathizes with us. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we have a high priest in heaven, who is Jesus. We have a high priest in heaven that understands us in our weaknesses. He sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. And because of that, we have the ability to come, to, when we have a need, come to the Father. And we can come confidently and we can ask because he understands exactly where we are. He endured so that now, no matter what you're going through or what challenges you might be facing in life or experiencing, Jesus will say, I know exactly what that's like. And for some of you here, I think that's the message you need to hear this morning. It's easy to mask it with all the festivities of Christmas. But deep inside, you're still hurting. You're hurting at that loss. You're hurting at for this. You're hurting from a series of things. And Jesus wants to tell you, I know exactly what you're going through. Maybe things are tight financially. You just can't make ends meet. Jesus would say, hey, I know what that feels like. I grew up poor. Maybe you would say, my family doesn't understand me. Jesus would say, yeah, I've been there. I know what that's like. Maybe you would say, I feel like my closest friends have abandoned me when I needed them the most. I think Jesus would say, yep, been there. I get that. I remember when that happened to me. So no matter what you're going through, what you're facing right now, Christmas is a reminder that he knows exactly what you're going through. I think something else that Jesus would tell us is no matter what you've done, I love you. That's really the message of Christmas. That's really the message of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, right? So as we look at these surprising circumstances around his birth, it tells us of the depth of his love for us, right? Jesus could have come from heaven to a palace, and that would have been an incredible sacrifice. From heaven to a palace. But that's not what he did. He went from heaven to a stable. He went as low as you could possibly go. Philippians tells us that he emptied himself. He became nothing to identify with us, to show us his love, to demonstrate the depth of his love. Let me put it this way. The depth of someone's love can be determined by the level of sacrifice. So if you want to know how much someone loves you, sacrifice tells the story. How much are they willing to give up for you? So Jesus made it very clear how deeply he loves you and I by what he sacrificed, right? He went from the highest to the lowest, from a throne to a manger. He has sacrificed for you and I to say, I love you. There's no distance he won't travel. There's no pain he won't endure. There's no sacrifice he won't make because of his love for you. And not just you, but everyone. Everyone. You know how we all have credit scores, right? These days, my credit score is not so bad. But there was a time that I would walk into a bank and maybe pursue a loan. And the loan officer would come back and say, I'm sorry, can't help you. Your credit score isn't good enough. And sometimes I think that's what we want to do with the gift of Jesus, right? We don't want it to be for all people. We just want it, you know, it's okay, you can come, but you're going to have to kind of pay your dues a little bit, you know, work, get your credit score up a little bit, and then you can be in, right? That's often how we treat this gift of Jesus, but that's not how the gospel works, and that's not why Jesus came. He loves you just the way you are. In fact, it tells us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. I know I say that verse often, and you probably think, well, yeah, that's what the scriptures teach. But have you thought about that verse? While we were active in our sin, while we were practicing our sin, while we were running away from God, while we might have been even cursing God, it says that he loved us and he died for us. That tells me is that because of what Jesus has done, I can come to the Father blameless. If I accept him as my Lord and Savior, that's what happens. I stand before God blameless. He took my credit score and exchange it for his. So my prayer this Christmas is that this church would be a lot like that first Christmas, that we would be a place where all people, for all people, where not one person is more important than another person, that this would be that place. And that's what we worked hard on for the last 12 years, is that we would understand, every one of us would understand that the gospel is for everyone. And that's really what that Christmas, that first Christmas tells us. So you may be a redneck, you may be young, you may be old, you may be single, you may be single and wishing you were married, you may be married, you may be married and wishing you were single, hopefully not, right? You may be divorced, you may be widowed, you may be living on food stamps, or you may be living off of a trust fund. You may have your PhD, or you may be working on your GED. You may wear suits and ties, or you may prefer to wear jeans and t-shirt. You may be Republican, you may be Democrat. You may listen to rock music, or you may like rap music instead. You may have grown up Baptist, or Methodist, or Lutheran, or Catholic, or nothing at all. It doesn't matter. Christmas is for you. Everyone is invited. And don't let anyone tell you different. And so right now, as we're celebrating Christmas, Christmas is being celebrated around the world. There are places right now in China where a group of believers are gathering together in a secret place because of the challenges that they face with the government, and they're celebrating Christmas. There are orphans right now in Haiti. I can still see their faces that are celebrating Christmas. There are Christian believers in some small village in Bangladesh surrounded by an Islamic antagonistic society, and they too are celebrating Christmas. Christmas is being celebrated in addiction recoveries all around the United States, in prison cell blocks across the United States. I've preached in the past. I've preached in prisons and in jails. I've gone in there. And it's, I love doing it. You know, you have a captive audience. It's terrible. Terrible. I shouldn't have said that. But they really are in many ways. I don't mean it like literally, but what I'm saying is they are there. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're wanting something. And I've preached, and I remember speaking out and just challenging them, and I could see it in their eyes. I could see it in their eyes. Yeah, Rich, maybe, but look at me. Look at my circumstances. Look at my surroundings. There's no Christmas present for me. Christmas isn't really for me because, after all, look what I'm going through. But you need to know that Christmas is as much for them as for any single one of us in this room right now. Christmas is for everyone. Christmas is for all people. So look, this Christmas, it's scandalous. It's not royal at all. I want you to see the humble stable. I want you to smell the odor of the animals, hear the sheep and the goats and the baby crying. It's nothing like you would expect to see at the birth of a king. But duck into that humble space. Make your way to the manger and bow a knee. He is Christ the Lord there. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you're dressed or how you look. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you're from or what your demographic is. It's a message for every single one of us. And this is the message. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
天使说，不要怕，看哪，我报给你们大事的行事，是关于王明的今天，在大卫的城里。
तब स्वर्गदूतों ने उनसे कहा, मत डरो, मैं तुम्हारे लिए अच्छी खबर लाया हूँ जो सब लोगों के लिए है। आज दाऊद के शहर में एक उत्तरदायी पैदा हुआ है जो मसीहा है।
Mas el ángel les dijo, no temáis, porque he aquí os doy nuevas de gran gozo, que será para todo el pueblo, que os ha nacido hoy en la ciudad de David un Salvador, que es Cristo el Señor.
Mais l'ange leur dit, ne craignez point, car je vous annonce une bonne nouvelle, qui sera pour le peuple le sujet d'une grande joie. C'est aujourd'hui dans la ville de David, il vous est né un sauveur qui est le Christ, le Seigneur.
Oh, come let us adore. Oh,
a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder.
而耶稣 तब घटेगा जब उस विशेष बच्चे का जन्म होगा परमेश्वर हमें एक पुत्र प्रदान करेगा जो हमारी अगुवाई करेगा
Porque un niño nos es nacido, un hijo nos es dado, y el principado sobre su hombro.
Car un enfant nous est né, un fils nous est donné, et la domination reposera sur son épaule.
और उसका नाम होगा सामर्थी पिता राजाओं का राजा अंतकाल का पिता और संविधान
llamarase su nombre admirable consejero dios fuerte padre eterno príncipe de paz
on l'appellera admirable conseiller dieu puissant père éternel prince de la paix
Let's say that all together. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever.
Father, that's what we do today. We adore you. We worship you. We thank you for the gift of grace and mercy that came 2,000 years ago in the form of a little baby born in a manger. We thank you, Father, that the message you sent loud and clear is that Jesus is for everybody. Doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your skin color, doesn't matter your socioeconomic status, God. You have come for every single one of us. And we thank you for that. And so, Father, this morning we humble ourselves and we take a knee at that manger. We recognize the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our heart. And today, once again, we commit ourselves, Father, to surrender to you. Every aspect of our lives, every part of our life, we give our lives over to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the Life Church Podcast.